American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Monday, August 25th, I think. I could be off on my temporal shifting. And you are, that would be the August sometime of 2008. You're listening to Newsreel, the War Global sit-rap on core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all of these stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal. And you can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast that can be heard on Rent Radio, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, Radio Red Mercury, Second Life, and Node Archers is where we broadcast in the cyberscape. If you decide to get there, you just need to go to Node Archers, 137-102-9999. And let's not forget our brethren who are already homeless, sitting there listening in the new wasteland at 3403-19.41 North and 117-3729.50 West. So, yeah, big shouts out to that crowd. Got some feedback right off the top here. Hey, Sean! You've asked for an explanation on the Bubba thing, so here you go. Bubba is a child's mispronunciation of brother. Well, it's better than the Wikipedia explanation. Don't! Originally, this would sometimes stick as a nickname within a family. That's where the term comes from. Well, that's kind of cute. Bubba. Kind of big lummoxy kind of sound, don't you think? I mean, that's kind of nice. These days, these names seem to have taken on different connotations, often used as a somewhat derogatory term by some. Hope that helps explain the Bubba thing from Moog, which sounds like he knows what he's talking about. Then I got this other one from Sane Trader, where he said, hey, Sean, Bubba is a common nickname often given to the oldest son of an Afro-American family. And I thought, huh. So I'm wondering which one of those is probably accurate. I think Moog's probably accurate. I'd like to believe, because one of them's right. You know, one of them's right. So, or maybe they could both be wrong. I mean, if we don't like either of those. But this is where the power of belief comes in, right? You can believe whichever one you like. I like Moog's explanation, so I'm going to go with that one. You know, because it sounds better, and why, we don't need another bad word. We got too many bad words anyway. Dear Sean, we're right into a sort yourself out. How's that? That was it for your feedback. Yeah, hang on. We're moving places here. Dear Sean, I wasn't sure whether to send this as a sort yourself out letter or not, but here's something I need advice on. I've been having this problem occasionally when I talk to people. It seems that no matter what kind of conversation I have with someone, when I repeat something you said about a subject at hand, people look at me like I just got off the short bus. For example, I was at an army surplus store, just checking out their selection of knives. Bear in mind, I have no intention of buying any of their knives. I just wanted to check out what they had available. Anyways, asked the guy behind the counter and let me see one of the knives at display gates. He handed me a Gerber. It's a good-looking folding knife. Fast opening, good sharp edge. But it was still a Gerber. I casually mentioned that I heard from a friend, didn't say your name, that Gerber knives weren't all that great, and the metal used in the blades wasn't very of good quality. Actually, I remember saying that the steel is shit, but I wasn't going to say that. Again, not wanting to get thrown out of there. The guy behind the counter says to me, well, whoever told you that didn't know what the hell he was talking about. I wanted to shove the Gerber somewhere that never sees the light of day. I just kind of blinked and tried to pretend I didn't hear it, and because I don't want to do anything that might get me banned from the premises or something, I mean, he's just trying to sell knives. I'll probably not say anything else if he needs to sell his stuff. Still, I thought it was pretty arrogant for him to dismiss out of hand the opinion that someone has. Never met simply because it's different than what he believes. Well, there's wars fought over this shit, right? So it's my question. So my question is, when I have something like this happen to me, how do I deal with it? Is there anything I can really do in the situation besides just walk away? Any hope in the situation would be greatly appreciated. And I'm going to hold back your name on this one. Now, you need to understand, okay, that the world is full of stupid people. Some of them, sometimes you're one of them, okay, but the world is full of stupid people. And there's people who speak from experience, and then there's people who speak from what they perceive to be correct. And that's quite a large shift there. For example, if you look at pictures of really hardened vets, like guys in the SAS and stuff like that, they're very hard to get pictures of. But you know, if you go to good used bookstores, you can get books that are loaded with these pictures of these really hard guys who would live in the bush and basically live and fight for weeks and weeks and weeks on end. And they use very primitive tools, which before the show started, we were talking about Rambo 4, but that's why I kind of dug that thing in Rambo 4, because he sharpened up like the side of a pickaxe and went to town. And when you look at the actual accounts from people who were involved, you look at World War II trench weaponry, it's not thin metal. It doesn't matter what kind of metal it is. You know what I mean? And so people try to get all tripped up on stuff, but largely, you know, the bigger question here is that if someone believes something different than you and you know you're correct, I mean, you know you're right, and they're angry about the fact that you don't agree with them, then you simply go, I'm sorry. And at that point, I would probably lie to them, and I would say, you know, you might be right. You know, I thank them. I'd definitely not try to piss anybody off. That's for sure. That's the first thing. Maybe it's because I'm Canadian. And then I would, you know, very gracefully not look like I'm running, but I would, you know, wait for perhaps another person to come in or what have you, and then I would, you know, exit the store. There's nothing in the world worth arguing about with someone over words. Like, you know, because they think that one thing's better than another thing, that's great. It's like holy books. Do you even believe? You see, there's these whole tribes of people globally that fight about books. It's unbelievable, actually. They got these holy books, and that's all they do is they fight about them. It's retarded. I don't really understand it. Because they got their rules in their book, and the other guy's got his rules in his books. And then they had the book war, where they had books about that one book. And then it kept on going, and it's a book. You know, they're book wars. And these books have these ideas in them, you know, that are causing, you know, a lot of problems. Because people are not being able to accelerate into hot media from the Marshall McLuhan stance. Really, you can learn a lot from guys like Marshall McLuhan. I think people, if you're sick of, you know, your typical bedside reading and you want to take on something that'll really open your eyes, check out Marshall McLuhan's stuff. There's a couple of books he wrote. I own them. I can't think of their titles. They were given to me by a very dear friend, and definitely you want to check that out. So, but in any case, dude, just walk away, you know, it's the best thing to do. And the only time I would ever not do that would be if the person was going into a real hot zone and they really thought they knew something and they were going to get themselves killed if you didn't give them the proper advice. And at that point, you would then commit to purchasing them a decent piece of equipment and giving it to them. And then you say, here you go, please take this with you, because when the circumstances dictate, you will instinctively know what is the right piece of equipment to take with you. And you will remember this moment quite fondly, I am sure. But anyway, you know, that's the idea. So don't get too wrapped around the axles with Kit. That's the bottom line here. Into the news we go. In Dark God News. Awesome story to follow this up with. I'm really happy about this story. This story, you know, every now and again, it's not often when you get a weekly world news story in mainstream news, you know. In Dark God News. Now, this is from a Canadian, like, respected newspaper. Nathan Carlson has barely slept since July 30th. Ever since it happens, I haven't been able to get it out of my head, Carlson says haltingly. I just don't know what to think about it, quite frankly. The Edmonton ethno-historian, he's an ethno-historian, okay, so he follows the lines of people, is one of the world's leading experts on the Wendigo phenomenon. And in the recent horrific beheading and alleged cannibalism on the Greyhound bus from Winnipeg to Edmonton rocked him to his very core. The grisly details of Tim McLean's last moments on Earth came to light in the following days. Carlson sank deeper and deeper into a fog of horror and revulsion. Vince Weigang Lee is accused of abruptly attacking McLean, who by all accounts didn't even know while McLean slept on the bus. Up until a few days before the killing, Lee held a part-time job delivering newspapers in Edmonton. He was well thought of by his boss and considered a nice guy, a bit quiet and shy. On July 20th, just 10 days before the killing, Lee discovered copies of The Sun that contained an extensive interview with Carlson about his research into the Wendigo, the terrifying creature in Native mythology that has a ravenous appetite for human flesh. It could take possession of people and turn them into cannibalistic monsters. In the two-page feature talked about how, in the late 1800s to the 20th century, Wendigo quote-unquote encounters
haunted communities across northern Alberta and the result of dozens of grueling deaths. In one case, a Cree trapper named Swiftrunner was hanged after admitting to killing and eating his wife, children, brother, and mother in the woods in northeast of Edmonton in the winter of 1878-79. Prior to being charged with murder, he had suffered screaming fits and nightmares, and he attributed to being possessed by the Wendigo. In several other cases, people banded together and killed individuals they feared were possessed by the Wendigo. Often, they would decapitate the corpse and bury the head separate from the body in order to keep it from rising from the dead. Carlson's documented several cases in northern Albertan communities where people believed they were turning Wendigo, would go into convulsions, make terrifying animal sounds, and beg their captors to kill them before they started eating people. In last month's bus case, Lee allegedly butchered McCain's body, brandishing the victim's severed head at the men who trapped him on the bus until police could arrive. He was later accused of eating McLean's flesh. When he appeared in the Portage La Prairie courthouse on charges of second-degree murder, the only words Lee reportedly uttered were the pleas for someone to kill him. A lot of his reported behavior eerily mirrors the Wendigo cases recounted in newspaper featured that Lee helped deliver to the Edmonton homes just days before McLean was killed, one of the most gruesome slayings in modern Canadian history. Several media reports called McLean's killing unprecedented, an unspeakable random attack, the likes of which has never been seen in Canada. There are just too many parallels, he says. I can't say there's a definite connection, but there's just too many coincidences. It's beyond eerie. Outstanding. What a great story, huh? You know, a couple of people might think that's a little bit cheap, because somebody actually got butchered to compare this to an ancient dark god. But I'll take that. Sure, why not? You know, good times, good times. That's the modern media for you. Okay, that's what they're handing you while the world burns, pretty much. That's what you got coming at you. Okay, that's the horror of the world. You know, not anyone who's read my books would know that I would really have kicked his ass about that story. You know, I mean, I could write a whole book about that. Just following that timeline, you know. I mean, come on. The guy who wrote that, you know for a fact he's writing a book. You know what I mean? Like, you just know it. He's wait for it. Somebody send me a link when he comes out with the book he's writing on this one. But anyway, moving right along here in UK Total Information Awareness News. Now, the Total Information Awareness Network was a network which was attempted to be set up some time ago, but they changed the logo, which was an eye in a pyramid staring at the planet. So, you know, people decided it probably wasn't a great idea to use that as the logo. But anyway, in the UK Total Information Awareness News, where basically they're the people closest to the lens over there, the government is pressing ahead with plans to spend hundreds of millions of pounds on a massive central silo for all UK communications data the Register has learned. Now, if at this point, at the end of this sentence, you now stop, pause the show, go watch the film Equilibrium, come back, unpause the show. Home civil servants are working on plans for a database under the banner of the Interception Modernization Program, the IMP. The team has recently been expanded at a director level, official appointed to run the project, which is not yet official policy in public. Sources said the secret briefings revealed the cost of the database would run nine figures and has already been factored into government spending plans. So it's intentional. The IMP budget was part of an intelligence agency's undisclosed fundings bid to the comprehensive spending review last year, in answer to a parliamentary question on 8th July, and the House office refused to provide any budgetary details, citing national security concerns. The sum will dwarf the £19 million we recently reported the government has given telecoms, companies, and other service authorities data requirements since 2004. The Uber database will render existing arrangements for sharing communications data with the government agencies obsolete. The project has been pushed hard at Whitehall by intelligence agencies MI6, GCHQ, and one ISP source describes their demands as science fiction. It's envisioned that the one-stop-shop database will retain details of all calls, texts, emails, instant messenger conversation, and websites accessed in the UK. Total hub and data capture every piece of communication for 2 years. Building it. Already got the data, already got the money for it. A pilot scheme. Wow. Communication providers fear a technical nightmare if they're forced to implement common data formatting rules. GCHQ declined to comment. A pilot scheme will see probes inserted in networks owned by one mobile, one internet, and one landline operator, sources said. It's thought the database could be administered by an expanded National Technical Assistance Center, a home office agency. The probes would not reconnect, would not record content of communications, which is seen intrinsically as less useful for intelligent data mining efforts. The probes will not record content of communications, which is seen as intrinsically less useful for intelligent data mining efforts. Huh. So they don't record the conversations? Are you kidding me? A communications data bill mandating the database was expected to be proposed before the summer parliamentary recess. It did not appear. It had been planned. The database would be bundled with the UA Data Retention Directive, EU DRD, which must be enshrined in UK law by March 2009. However, the last week, government released a consultation paper on transposing the directive as a standalone statutory instrument. Laws made by a statutory instrument do not require a vote in Parliament. So no voting on this thing. And amid widespread headlines decrying long-published EU DRD as another snooper's charter, insiders wondering what would happen to the communications data bill and its central database. A home office spokeswoman said the bill will be published sometime this year. She told the Register that plans had changed to make the best use of a parliamentary time. It goes on and talks about this. So basically, they're pushing to build up a giant beehive over there and, retouring everybody's data. What could possibly go wrong with something like that, really? Which brings us to our next story in more Total UK Information Awareness News. UK government departments have managed to leak a total of 29 million personnel records over a single year. Good
work there, guys. Good work. Yeah.
In addition to the 25 million records spilled in the now infamous Lost Child Benefit CDs debacle, another 4 million records went astray, and other stuff-ups in which some have previously gone unreported since the HMRC data loss fiasco. Whitehall departments have begun to include data of information leaks as part of their annual financial statements. An analysis of these figured by the BBC revealed that personal information disclosures across the UK government departments, excluding information and the lost child benefit CDs, averaged 300,000 records a month up until the April of 2008, the end of the UK tax year. The loss of 3 million records of driving test candidates by the Department of Transportation May 2007 makes up the bulk of these figures. The disappearance of an unencrypted laptop containing 620,000 personal records, including sensitive financial information such as bank accounts and national insurance numbers, by the Ministry of... Like, come on, guys. Come on, guys. What are you doing to me here? You've got to realize at some point you just can't trust people with data online. You just can't. The cloud computing thing is coming in. It's an interesting kind of conundrum, right? Because of what I try to do, I try to reach as many people as possible. That's why I'm not on Facebook. But there's a fan site there for me and stuff like that. And I'm beginning to realize that unless you buy in to the mass media, they're gonna catch all the other sheeple in things like Facebook, in things like the Google Cloud, and the rest of us will be left out here on the fringes, in the wastelands of the internet. And they'll never really be able to stomp us out, but that's fine, because they won't have to. They can get us in different ways. They can get us in ways by, people who own guns. They'll get us in ways of people who, don't fit in, people who might have, be considered too artistic or possibly, diagnosed artistic, in which case we got a pill for that. Not to try to incite any sort of paranoia, but this kind of a thing is just really, really... It seems like it's not so unlikely anymore. And especially with our personal data. So, on one hand, there's the argument that people make that, I'm not doing anything wrong, so I don't have anything to worry about. But the problem with that sort of argument, aside from, there's a number of problems with that argument, but the one that I like is you're very easily framed. If you try to do the right thing and someone's against you and they have a connection that you don't have, they can doctor up a bunch of stuff and you've got, they can lie. It makes it very easy to fake data and very easy to lie. So I don't like it. I don't like it. I mean, think about it now. Think about it now. If you see a news report on a guy, okay, and the guy on the news has claimed that this guy's a pedophile, okay, he's an escaped pedophile. You've never seen this guy before, but he's an escaped pedophile, okay, and he is considered extremely dangerous, okay? He's psychotic. He attacks women and children, okay? And you're advised to get off the streets because this guy is out there running. He's a total menace. Police, and they say on the radio that police have orders to shoot to kill. Now, if they start running pictures of this guy, what do you suppose is going to happen to that guy? What do you suppose is going to happen to that guy? That guy's going to be eaten alive is what's going to happen to that guy. Why? Because the TV said so. Maybe that guy is the guy holding the microfilm, you know? Maybe he's the guy who got the secrets to who shot Kennedy. And the guy made the phone call. They sent the picture up. They broadcast this story out of the can, which they've got saved up. And then bang, you know? I mean, that's entirely possible. And yeah, there's tons of movies that follow that exact same premise. But this is it. This is it. Does that happen? I don't know. I know Osama bin Laden was a CIA asset for a long time. I mean, maybe we're all being played for fools. You know, it's brutal. It's brutal. But as for England, man, you know, I don't know. I feel bad. You know, the England British are turning into the Suntarans, you know. At one time, we had many nine. You know, they would dominate the universe. But, you know, now, you know, the poor British people are just... Dude, you guys, man, fuck, you guys, like, what's going on with the common man over there? You know, I mean, the government is just a bunch of elitist jerks who are, you know, sitting on high. What's going on with the common man over there? I mean, how are they letting this go on? These people, like, dominated three-quarters of the planet at one time. You know, they need to get some control over there. They need some good British efficiency to get in there and sort that out. You know, holy crap. It's tragic what's going on over there. And I'm sure that there's some people that are doing good work and trying to get things, you know, getting done. I mean, they're talking about this, right? They're leaking this to the media. Obviously, people don't like it. Somebody talked to this guy as a source. Sounds like his numbers are there. So, interesting that, you know, they're going to build this data pyramid. And now the media, maybe there's a few people trying to get on the side. You know, maybe there's a few people trying to say, hey, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with the fact that, you know, we're going to have this huge mining database and you're going to make it easy to just turn us all into fucking slaves. You know, interestingly enough, as a writer, I always like to try to think about different scenarios, you know? And something's happened since the 50s, which I just can't seem to get out of my head. Do you remember back in the 50s, you ever look at 1950s, you know, like science fiction novels and stuff like that? They got these freaky looking aliens, right? They all got like crab eyes and pinchers. A lot of them got pinchers, you know, and they always got the super hot bleach blonde babe, you know, and the dudes with, you know, the Tarzan pants fighting them or whatever, you know. That's what it looked like, right? But now, what do aliens look like? They all look the same, don't they? They all look like those little gray guys, right? How did that happen? How did we decide that the grays look like these small humanoid people? That's what aliens look like. You don't realize how ridiculous that sounds? The likelihood of that, you know, actually being what aliens look like is retarded. They have just as much chance as looking like a Sketsy from the Dark Crystal as they do as looking like that. Okay, we don't know. We think we know. I mean, the scientists that are here right now, man, the one word you'll never hear a scientist say who's, you know, hasn't let go of his ego is, I don't know. I mean, what some scientists will say, we don't know, and they're the really good ones. They usually got the math hair and all look like they're Unix wizards and live out in the desert somewhere. You know, that's the really good scientists. But, you know, these guys who they got in there right now, I mean, they just toe the company line and say whatever, you know, the science department wants them to say. But in any case, I oftentimes wonder how the aliens wind up all looking that way. So if you were encountered, like, let's say everybody's above board. Let's say George Bush is actually a nice guy. Let's say the whole lot of them. Let's give everybody the shadow of a doubt. Okay? So just go with me on this one here. Let's suppose back in Roswell happened, okay? Aliens make contact. And they get a hold of the most powerful nations at the time. They go talk to, you know, the United States, and the United States, for whatever reasons, decides, listen, we're fucked. These guys got star power technology. Our duty as humans is to make the transition into space as simple as possible so that we kill as few of our people as we possibly could. Okay? So then, how would you do that? Well, you'd have to hand over your species in a very orderly fashion. Otherwise, the aliens land, and then we're screwed, right? So they're going to figure out a way to get everybody under one big, you know, bubble, And then once they have unity, that's when they're going to try to, you know, really bust in with the alien thing. Whether or not, because if they do that, you see, all the religions are shot. Right, first of all, aliens show up. I mean, what happens? Let's never mind my theory. What happens when aliens land on the White House lawn? Everybody says, why don't they do that? Well, what happens when they do? What psychologically happens to people when that happens? Total chaos. Complete chaos. People would freak out. If they wouldn't freak out, they'd have nightmares about it. They wouldn't know why. And then they'd realize, oh my goodness, the Bible doesn't mean anything. The Torah doesn't mean anything. The Quran doesn't mean anything. None of it means anything. It's all bullshit. Okay, we're just organisms. It's Call of Cthulhu time. We're all just, you know, little bits of fungus under the whims of energy, you know? That's a hell of a hard pill to take, and people will kill to stop that pill from being taken. So that's why you have to have a surveillance station with, you know, a G.I. Joe-style rapid reaction force that law enforcement looks exactly like 17th century knights that were used to control the serfs, only made out of better equipment. You know, I mean, you look at that and you go, dude, there's nothing new here. You know, there's absolutely nothing new here. This is so cyclic, it's sick. You know, But anyway, just a theory about the whole aliens thing. And that brings us, you know, but how would they possibly get unity of the entire planet? You're dreaming, Sean. You're dreaming, man. You're dreaming. You're fucking crazy. Absolutely. No chance. No chance, man. Nope. No aliens. Which brings us to the Manifest Destiny news. Thanks, Matt. President Bush is pursuing a globalist agenda to create a North American Union, effectively erasing our borders with both Mexico and Canada. It was a hidden agenda behind the Bush administration's true open borders policy. Secretly, the Bush administration is pursuing a policy to expand NAFTA politically, setting the stage for a North American Union designed to encompass the U.S., Canada, Mexico, and what the Bush administration truly wants is the free, unimpeded movement of people across open borders with Mexico and Canada. Laws have already been signed in Canada, as an addendum to this, that state that if Canada ever declares an emergency, we can call in the U.S. military to help us in any stage of an emergency. That means pretty much that if the premier goes, yeah, we're under an emergency, the Marines have control. Period. Period. They just come in and take over. That's it. Okay? President Bush intends to abrogate U.S. sovereignty to the North American Union, a new economic and political energy which the president is quietly forming, much as the European Union has formed. Okay, the blueprint for President Bush's following was laid out in a 2005 report entitled Building a North American Community. 2005, there's a link on the page. Published by the Left of Center Council of Foreign Relations. The Council of Foreign Relations report connects the dots between the Bush administration's actual policy on illegal immigration and the drive to create the North American Union. Because, obviously, Mexicans are going to vote for Mexicans in their own areas. I mean, come on, this isn't racial. This is just a fact. This is just playing on people's, how people are. President Bush intends, at the meetings in Waco, Texas, at the end of March 2005, U.S. President George W. Bush, Mexican President Vincent Fox, and Canadian Prime Minister Paul Martin commended their governments to a path of cooperation and joint action. We welcome this important development and the offer of this report to add urgency and specific recommendations to strengthen their efforts. What is the plan? Simple. Erase the borders. The plan is contained in a security and prosperity partnership of North America, little noticed when President Bush and President Fox created it in March 2005. March 2005, leaders of Canada, Mexico, and United States adopted a security prosperity partnership in North America. So this is all about how we're all becoming, you know, manifest destiny. I'm not so sure this is a bad idea. Really. It's not because, you know, well, you're a Canadian, you want to be an American. Well, actually, you're not going to be an American either anymore, and I think that's what's pissing everybody off. We got a pretty similar culture. You know, we do. Hey? I mean, everybody kind of worships the same gods, right? You know, they kind of do. And realistically speaking, you know, if we're going to get to space, it'd be nice to have a large country to, you know, draw on the resources for that. Canada has a lot of natural resources. We don't have enough people. Okay? The States has a lot of people. And we're really nice. I don't know what everybody in Canada is like. No, freaking Americans. Man, they're rude. They're rough. Ah, they have guns. You know what? I've been all over the United States. I really like these people. I think they're friendlier than a lot of Canadians I know. And that's a brutal thing to say. I mean, I like Canada. Don't get me wrong. I took an oath to defend it and all the rest of it. But Come on, guys. There comes a point when you have to stand back and go, you know, we're all kind of earthlings here. All kind of human brothers, you know. That's why sometimes, you know, Ronald Reagan said that in a speech. He was talking about how he wished that aliens would attack. Because if they did, he could unite the world. Now, this is Ronald Reagan. He's not a stupid man. Why do you suppose he told that story to the cameras when he knew the cameras were rolling? Why do you suppose he said that? Why do you suppose he did that, eh? You know, he's a brutal guy. So you wonder, maybe he was just screwing around. You know, because I guess the president screws around a lot in front of cameras. You know, or maybe he was trying to say something there. I don't know. It's an interesting thought. It's an interesting thought. But one thing's for sure, I kind of look at this whole thing. We got some major crime going on in Mexico. All right, major crime going on in Mexico right now. Okay, there's problems down there. Those people need help. And there's good people down there, okay, that are getting exploited hardcore. Hardcore, man. You know, so it's something to look at. It's something to look at and think about that. But anyway, in Garage Nuke News, thanks, pal, very much for this story. In the garage of this house, now this is when we're talking about scientists, okay? We're talking about really, really good scientists here. We're going to talk about garage nuke scientists that are building nuclear reactors in their garage. Now, these people are geniuses, okay? I'm in love with these guys. Pittsburgh, in the garage of his house, Frank Sands spends nights tinkering with one of his prized possessions, a working nuclear fusion reactor. Mr. Sands, 51-year-old, is part of a small subculture of gearheads, amateur physicists, and science fiction fans who are trying to build fusion reactors in their basements, backyards, and home laboratories. Wog every last one of them. Mr. I'm a Dreamer, Mr. Sands, who owns a banquet hall, so he's got some money, believes he's on track to make a fusion a viable power source. Many of these hobbyists call themselves fusioneers and have formed a loosely knit community that numbers more than 100 worldwide. Getting into their elite neutron club requires building a tabletop reactor that successfully fuses hydrogen isotopes and glows like a miniature star. Only 42 have qualified. Some have t-shirts that read, "Fusion, been there, done that." This is some heavy science nerd stuff here. Called fusers, and based on the 1960s design first developed by Philo Farnsworth, an inventor of television. What? How can you be an inventor of television? The reactors are typically small steel spheres with wires and tubes sticking out of a glass window for looking inside. But there won't be powering anytime soon. For now, fusers use far more energy than they produce. Fusion, which releases energy by forcing two atoms close enough together that they join to become a heavier atom, is the process that powers the sun and stars. Replicating that on Earth requires enormous amounts of energy. For decades, scientists have been experimenting with various methods to fuse atoms, including using magnetic fields and lasers. Even a nearly $15 million multinational project to build a fusion reactor in southern France is only intended to show that fusion power is technically feasible, not to actually tap into it. You got a lot of run. That's a hell of a long shot. But the allure is strong. A fusion power plant would likely be fueled by deuterium and tritium, both isotopes of hydrogen that are in plentiful supply. Fusion advocates say researchers would be relatively clean. Reactors would be relatively clean. The researchers were not so sure about generating virtually no air pollution and little long-lived radioactive waste. Today's nuclear power plants, in contrast, are fission-based, meaning they split atoms to create highly radioactive waste that can take millennia to decompose. While some amateurs, like Mr. Sands, thinks fusion holds promise, others are less hopeful, because it's almost like over the gates of hell. Abandon all hope, ye who enter, says Richard Hull, who built his first working fusor nearly a decade ago. Mr. Hull, a 62-year-old electronics engineer in Richmond, Virginia, where he lives with his wife, Kit, and three cats, all of which have three heads apiece, have been obsessed with radioactivity since he was a boy. He's collected more than a dozen Geiger counters, built his own gamma ray spectrometer, accumulated hundreds of books, including many from the dawn of the nuclear age and mid-20th century when he remembers ordering radioactive isotopes by mail. He has uranium rods. old clocks with radium phases and samples of rock from a test site where the first atomic bomb was detonated. His bathroom is stocked with back issues of The Hobbyist and periodically nuts and bolts. Every year, he hosts an amateur science gathering and attracts them. Dozens of hobbyists from all across the country. His loosely knit fan club is called Skull, guaranteeing to destroy... No, I'm kidding. I'm making that up. Most of these people like things that go bang, up, sput, fizz, say, Mr. Hull. Cobra! You know, I love guys like this. You know, that's what we need, is we need more guys building nuclear reactors in their freaking basements, man. That's what we need, you know? More people who are willing to get out there and actually do something versus sit around and talk about it, like we're doing right now. Anyway, in the book ban news. Okay, now this, I didn't know what to actually call this one. And so I'm going to go with book ban news. And in the normally sedate gardens of the Edinburgh Book Festival, in the normally sedate gardens of the Edinburgh Book Festival, it's causing quite a furor. From this autumn, a number of publishing houses will age brand their children's books. Each book will carry a specific marking indicating if they are suitable for readers age 5 and up, 7 and up, 9 and up, and 11 and up, because you realize the difference between 5 and 9 is quite significant, so you need that 7 one there, and then 13 plus teen. Research within the book industry suggests people buying books for children would welcome the guidance, so this is entirely marketing. But the scheme has already enraged a number of writers, among them former children's laureate Michael Morpurgo. For me, the biggest issue is getting the book to the reader, and that's how it's done. I'm happy to leave it to the marketing people unless they overstep the mark. In this case, I feel they really have overstepped the mark, he said before a sellout event in the Edinburgh International Book Festival, which is strong words. A bunch of Brits sitting around talking about books. I mean, that's basically like if that was in America, Hulk Hogan would have ripped through a stage and he would have like power slammed somebody through a table and then like, you know, kicked his dog. You know, seriously, that's the level of ferocity that happens at the Edinburgh Book Festival. If they had asked writers and children and parents, they would have realized a lot of people are outraged at the prescriptive nature of this scheme. There's no such thing as an average 7-year-old. They could be 4 to 10, or like me, 65. It's just nonsense. I mean, wow. This guy's out of control up there. He's going crazy. There are so many more important issues they should concentrate on. The best way to get children to read is to write good books in the first place, make sure they're beautifully illustrated, and then have libraries open and teachers who love books and parents who love books, and that's how we improve reading among children. Ta-da! In one! I think he even got that into one sentence. Shit! That guy's the king. So, there's your book problem right there. You know, that would be the solution. You know, yeah. Pretty much got that one nailed down. The scheme is followed by the Publishers Association. Not his scheme, of course. No, the Publishers Association. No. No, they're a bunch of vampires. See, what they do... Now, this is the book industry in general. See, a lot of people, there's so many... These guys got their days numbered, man. You know, these book laureates who think they can just dole it out. And that's one of the... You want to know who's going to want to lock down the internet? It's going to be the publishers. You know, for sure. It'll be those guys. And that's why the RIAA is all locking in there. That's why the MPAA is in there. That's why people are all worried about it. That's why piracy is such a big thing. They're missing the chunk of their pie, okay? Which is why it's super important that you support independent artists. Very, very important. Buy Jell-O Biafra's stuff, okay? Very, very important stuff. Anyway, and speaking of media, okay, let's talk about some media news, okay? In media news, NewsCred. Now, this is an interesting idea. It's a website, something you can use, okay? The news aggregator that ranks stories by credibility of their source has launched to the public. Instead of relying on popularity as a main social news site's dues, NewsCred instead allows users to rate each story, author, and its publication's credibility, which is then plugged into an algorithm to determine the site's prominent headlines. We originally introduced the site last May when it was launched in private alpha. Since then, NewsCred has implemented a number of new features, including a more thorough search, topic-specific pages, and section for breaking news. So this is the ongoing thing to try to make another better, bigger, stronger, faster Slashdot, is what this is. Because, you know, Slashdot was one of the first guys who did this, and then along came guys like Dig, and then, you know, everybody else came in there. Reddit was in there. Everybody's in there now. So, you know, it's interesting. It's an interesting idea, something you need to be aware of, and it's always good to, you know, follow it as a news story link, especially for the Army of Flying Monkeys. You guys can investigate that and see what's going on. If maybe you can pull some good stories off there. Chances are no, because they're all going to be drinking out of the same cesspool. But we'll see how it develops. You know, check it out. Definitely, I mean, it's worth to check out. Maybe you can use it. Anyway, in Gattaca news, okay? Gattaca news. Gattaca being the DNA thing. Two closely watched companies that offer consumers information about their genes have received licenses that will allow them to continue to do business in California, a state official said today. This is the part when you stop the show. You go. You rent the film. You acquire the film Gattaca. Hell, rent it. I don't care. Rent the film Gattaca. Okay? Get your hands on it. This is the one with Uma Thurman. Watch that. Return to the show. Press play. The license, granted it to Navigenics and 23andMe, should help diffuse a controversy that began in June when the California Department of Health sent a cease and desist letter to the companies and 11 others that offer genetic testing directly to consumers. The letters said the companies could not solicit customers from California without receiving a license from the state to operate as a laboratory. And they said the doctors would have to be involved in ordering genetic tests. The letters were the most recent sign of concern that regulators at both the state and federal level are becoming increasingly concerned about the accuracy and validity of tests being sold through the internet. But the state's auction has also sparked concern that overregulation could stifle a promising new industry. But eating babies is a promising new industry. Are you insane? Anyway, the media coverage of the action seems to catch the state off guard. Both sides appear eager to resolve the issue. So what's actually happening here is that they're not trying to stop them from allowing people to do private genetic testing, thereby turning, you know, the focus on the family crowd into the eugenics crowd, where they don't have to actually win everybody's souls or convert them to your churches, because they'll just outbreed you, breed themselves into a dominant caste, and we'll all become their slave culture, who they'll encourage to breed by pumping us full of really, really bad rhythmic music, encourage us to spend money on ridiculous items that are labeled quote-unquote bling, and instead of spending our money wisely, we will forever be trapped in a cycle of economic prison. You see, that's just a guess, you know. Anyway, the companies had argued they were not offering medical testing, but rather personal genetic information services. And consumers had a right to information on their own DNA. They got a right to that! The companies also said they do not need licenses because the actual testing of DNA samples is being done by outside laboratories that did have licenses. So we're outsourcing that stuff. We don't torture people in our country. We send them to other countries to get tortured. You know? Seriously, let's talk about the spirit of the law here. You know? I'm just wondering. Now, on the other side, though, let's say that I'm unhappy with the medical industry and I want to be able to spend some money to go do that. Should I have the freedom to do that? Yeah, I guess, you know, legally, let's suppose, you know, the focus on the family, you know, Planned Parenthood crowd, you know, the real eugenics strongholds in America, which are still going strong. Don't ever kid yourself. What are you kidding? The head of the Secret Service's grandson is the president. Oh, he was a president too? Wow. What are the odds of that? And every man can be a president in America. You know, come on, give me a break. So You look at this and you go, wow, that's pretty interesting stuff. Definitely something you want to be aware of. And that's why films like Gattaca are super important to watch now more than ever. You know what I mean? It's amazing that people don't seem to see this. Like, before I came out and did the show tonight, I was watching the Olympics. And they're going on right now, you know? And wow, are they ever making a big deal about these Olympics, you know? And they are, you want to talk about a reality show, man, they've got computer graphics for, you know, I mean, this thing is, it's so synthetic. It's the most synthetic Olympics I've ever seen, okay? It's like, this Olympics reminds me of the latest Star Wars movies, you know, episodes 1, 2, and 3, where it's just too much CGI. You know, you got too much going on there. This is supposed to be about, you know, athletes, you know, competing. It's nice that they're getting the attention, but the kids aren't getting any money. Those athletes that are over there, a lot of those guys are there on their own dime. I mean, some countries got some policy. Canada, of course, doesn't. What are you kidding? But, you know, they don't really, they don't get a lot of money. So a lot of these guys, you know, and let's not even talk about the discipline it takes to, you know, kind of train yourself. You know, so, but then they've gone and they've kind of turned it into this spectacle. And my God, the commercials. Holy psyop. I mean, Jesus Christ, they're really turning it up a notch with the commercials. I don't watch television. So for me to walk in and sit down and watch some Olympic commercials at this particular juncture of history, holy crap. Man, they're using heavy, heavy psychological manipulation in commercials now. Brutally. You want to like them. It's unreal. I can't believe it, really. I mean, it just blows my mind. Which brings me to the final story here before we get into hacks. In Brain War News. Now listen to this, because this is the tie around for everything else. And this is the crux behind what we're doing here. People who go, why, Sean, 10 years, dude, yelling into a microphone and talking to a bunch of nerds on the internet? What the hell's wrong with you? This is why. Rapid advances in Brain War News. Rapid advances in neuroscience could have a dramatic impact on national security and the way in which future wars are fought, U.S. intelligence officials have been told. This is the kind of stuff I'm putting in the new Afternote book. In a report commissioned by the Defense Intelligence Agency, leading scientists were asked to examine how a greater understanding of the brain over the next 20 years is likely to drive development of new medicines and technologies. Army of the Flying Monkeys, can you please make sure that I get a copy of that report when that's done? They found several areas in which progresses could have profound impact, including behavior-altering drugs, scanners that could interpret a person's state of mind, and devices capable of boosting senses such as hearing and vision. On the battlefield, bullets may be replaced with pharmacological landmines that release drugs on impacting on a soldier's on contact, while scanners and other electronic devices could be developed to identify suspects from their brain activity, even disrupt their ability to tell lies when questioned. The concept of torture would also be altered by products in the market. It's possible that someday there could be a technique to develop to extract information from a prisoner that does not have any lasting side effects. The report highlights one electronic technique called transcranial direct current stimulation, which involves using an electrical pulse to interfere with the firing of neurons in the brain and has been shown to delay a person's ability to tell a lie. Transcranial direct current stimulation. Transcranial. Let's break that down. Transcranial goes through your head. Direct current. That's electricity and stimulation. So they take a car battery. They stick a needle into your head. And they run voltage through it. Now you can't lie. And then they interrogate you. That is not torture. Okay, drugs could also be used to enhance performance of military personnel. Juicers, it's already an anecdotal evidence of troops using the narcolepsy drug modafinil and Ritalin, which is prescribed for attention deficit disorder to boost their performance. Guys are taking Ritalin to boost their performance? Future drugs developed to boost cognitive facilities of people with dementia are likely to be used in a similar way, the report adds. Greater understanding of the brain's working is also expected to usher in new devices that link directly with the brain, either to allow operators to control machinery with their minds, such as flying unmanned reconnaissance drones, or to boost their natural senses. For example, a video from a person's glasses or audio recorder from a headset could be processed by a computer and help search for relevant information. Experiments indicating the advantages of these devices are such that human operators will be greatly enhanced if things like photo reconnaissance and so on. Kit Green, who chaired the project report committee, said, very, very interesting stuff going on with that. So this is going to be quite the report. And I want to know what's going to be happening with this, because you know that once they start hooking up headsets, they've already got the feedback machines. They don't have to chip you. They'll do the same thing they did with the tracking beacons. They'll sell them to you, and they'll make you pay for them every month. And you'll line up to get them, because they'll have names like iPhone. And you'll actually believe that the phone is sexy. You'll think it's really cool. This tracking beacon. It's really cool. But, you know, when that doesn't have the wow anymore, they're gonna start selling you skull caps. Go stop the show. Go download an old British show called Tripods. Watch that. Start the show again. Okay? They're also going on here. They're talking about in the intelligence community, there is an extremely small number of people who understand the science, and without that, it's going to be impossible to predict surprises. This is a black hole that needs to be filled with light. The technologies will one day have the application in counterterrorism and crime fighting. The report says brain imaging will not improve sufficiently in the next 20 years to read people's intentions from afar and spot criminals before they act. But it might be good enough to help identify people at a checkpoint or a countertop who are afraid or anxious. Afraid or anxious. We're not going to be reading minds at a distance, but that doesn't mean we can't detect gross changes in anxiety and fear, then subsequently talk to those individuals to see what's upsetting them. The development of advanced surveillance techniques such as cameras that can spot fearful expressions on people's faces could lead to some inventive ways to fool them, report ads such as Botox injections to help relax facial muscles. Very, very, very interesting stuff. Your daily hack. We got some good ones here. First, we got a mini guide to bypassing firewalls. Very, very handy. Check that out. And we have a random identity generator, thanks both to Misanthropic Gods. And as well, just to wrap this show up, we got the DEFCON 16 tools. DEFCON, the 9,000-plus attendee hacker conference in Vegas, has become sort of a Hydra conference. It's become more like a global flair than what most people think of conferences. Even the badge is highly unique. I say this because there are so many things to do at DEF CON other than going on to talks. You spend the whole weekend looking through the world's largest boar, or so to speak. One of the CTF Capture the Flag contest winners this year actually exclaimed that he only made it to 2 talks in 12 years. I'm also one of those individuals who barely gets a chance to go to talks, and now the speaker pool is so diverse it's hard to find all the stuff they release. Before anyone has a chance to post it, it's all on the DEF CON CD dummy. I want to challenge them to try, after a weekend of Googling, which came back with few results, and making contact with some of the speakers, I provide you with the most accurate list of the stuff that was released at DEF CON this year. And if any of the information isn't accurate or a tool is missing, please contact me and I will update this post. So there's a link to all the tools at DEF CON. Very, very cool. Make sure you go there, download them, read about them, check them out, learn, improve your mind. And I already gave you enough Recommedia throughout the show. That's all I got for you today, but don't worry. I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. If you cannot donate, please distribute. And if you can donate, please do so by going to the Dark Atlas website and clicking on Donate. Or send an envelope to Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 1215C, 56th Street, Delta, BC, Canada, V4M2M4. I want to thank the Army of Flying Monkeys for assistance in gathering data. If you have information that you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at randradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to check out some Psytrance. I'm going to fade out now with another funky track that I will pull from somewhere deep in the void. Remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we are at each other's throats. So until next time, hey, that's what server said. End of line.
Put it country simple, Earth has a lot of things other folks might want, like the whole planet. And maybe these folks would like a few changes made. Like more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere and room for their way in. Before, right in these United States. Your way of life destroyed the Indian way of life. Gave them reservations, didn't you? My own position is ticklish. I'm with the invaders. No use trying to hide that. And at the same time, I disagree with some of the things they are doing. Oh, we're not united any more than you are. not united any more than you are. The conservative faction is set on nuclear war as a solution to the personnel. Others disagree. Others disagree. Others disagree. I don't claim that my motives are 100% humane, but I do say, if we can't think up anything quieter and tidier than that, control images, smash the control machine.